Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani.
Evans with the left foot.
He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, Sounders fans. This is another episode of Side by Side podcast. Steve Zakawani is away today, so it's just me and Keely.
I know. Poor guy has a cold.
It's going around.
It is going around. I had it last week.
Oh, no. You didn't even tell me that. And then we worked the game together.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wasn't going to tell anybody.
Thank you for that.
I was better by then.
So I know this is a little bit of a downer, right? And that's the reality of this week's podcast. I think it was an unexpected result here in Seattle on a perfect night, and everything was shaping up to be what we all thought was going to be a Sounders run into a Western Conference championship.
Yeah, that is what we thought.
And even going into the stadium, that was the vibe. Everyone was on a high. The crowd was insane. I mean, I haven't seen a boom boom clap like that of the players walking out. Yeah, complete chills. I don't usually videotape those things, but I did get my camera out when the guys were doing the pregame, and you were hosting the pregame radio. And then jumping on with Danny, it just felt like it was that kind of night. Both Danny and I were standing for the whole game, and we were really into it. And then, not disaster.
No.
But the way to end the season on that note, and I think we should get into that, because that was a game where I think we all walked away from it just kind of shaking our heads.
100%.
And it wasn't even one where you could really tip your cap to the opponent and said, man, they played good today. That was a good team that we lost to, and we can walk away from the season thinking, yeah, we got hard done by a couple of calls, I think, on the night. But at the end of the day, you know, the Sounders didn't create the chances that are typical of a Sounders team in years past in big game. You know, you look back at a 2019 MLS Cup here in Seattle and getting the job done in front of our crowd, 70,000 plus, some high quality chances, and then just good finishing on the day and on the evening.
Yeah, ironically for that one, I feel like we were the lesser team in the beginning of that one against Toronto.
Yeah, it took a second half to kind of come into our own. And that's where you talk about the ebbs and flows of a game. So let's get into it. I think, you know, the most glaring thing for me that I still keep thinking about is that Jordan Morris opportunity.
I know.
5 minutes into the game. And it started so well. You know, the Sounders came out on the front foot, put LAFC under pressure. Atencio with a shot from the top of the box. Keeper gets down low and makes, you know, a good save. You know, talking to Josh after the game, I was like, man, I thought you had a good opportunity there. And he said, look, I couldn't get as much power on it that I could have. It was more of a whip versus a real shot that generated some serious power. And I even think with that pace that he put on it, I still think the keeper makes a save at the end of the day. So it was one where he just didn't get enough on the ball to put it in the back of the net. And that led to, you know, another opportunity where Jordan was able to kind of showcase his speed. It was a great through ball, and he, you know, he makes a good effort and really just absolutely toasts Murillo. And you know, I don't think any of those center backs, even if they combined their speed together and doubled their speed, would never catch Jordan. And
that's what
you watch
so
that. That's what makes him so special and dangerous as a number nine. But at the end of the day, it's the finishing, the finished product. And in a game like that, all it takes is one. And you look at the other scores from all the other games was, you know, 2-0 Columbus, but it was really 1-0 until, you know, the keeper comes forward and they score in the 93rd minute to make it 2-0. Philly 1-0, Houston 1-0, and then LAFC 1-0.
I know.
And that just shows you how close everything is at the end of the day. And all it takes is one mistake or one missed opportunity, and you find yourself out of the playoffs. And now you're sitting here for the next 2 months watching, for the next, you know, 2 weeks watching teams play, and then for the next 2 months thinking about what could have been. But, you know, credit to the keeper. I mean, the keeper makes a fantastic save, and Kripo gets his left hand up. But I still think, you know, Jordan, I think with that speed, I think he has the opportunity to round the keeper and take a touch. But, you know, we've said that about Jordan in the past, that he has taken that extra touch and gone around the keeper, and it hasn't come to fruition. And so I think he's thinking, hey, I got this opportunity. I'm going to get a couple more. I'm going to go for it. And maybe on another day, he you know, slots that one into the back of the net. But that's a tough one, you know, for me to swallow in that game. And it's just unfortunate, because then you start to think, you know, and I even said it on the broadcast, is man, in these next 10, 15 minutes, if we're not creating more and more dangerous chances, you're going to allow LAFC to just sit in. And that's what they did. They sat in a 4-3-3, and they're just waiting for one square ball or one missed touch. And the Sounders got a little overzealous, knew who's high, Alex is high. And it's the recognition from Nuhu to know that when Alex is so high, he has to drop back. And in that case, the Sounders got caught and they got comfortable, because there were sequences where the Sounders were connecting 20, 25 passes. And you look at what was right. The possession on the night, Keely, overall?
70%.
Right, 70% possession on the night against an LAFC team that just won MLS Cup last year, made a good run in Champions League, and now, you know, come into Seattle and play a little bit different than I think that they have in the past, or and definitely that they would at home. But then you have Bouanga.
Yeah.
And his speed and power, I mean, I'm not sure that there's another player in this league that has shown that speed, power, and obviously being a Golden Boot winner, the ability to finish just from tight angles. He did it against Vancouver in LA in the first game, and that's a top quality player. And I talked to Thorington at halftime from LAFC, and I said, where did you find this guy? And he was like, you know, just like any other, you know, MLS acquisition, you kind of take a shot in the dark. But it was a guy who was, you know, playing in France. His team had just got relegated from League One to League Two, and that was a team that kind of went up and down and up and down, and we took a chance on him. We knew physically, is what he said, that he could do it. Now, we didn't know that he was going to be such a you know, fantastic finisher at the end of the day, but man, they struck gold with that guy.
I mean, they're going from Carlos Vela straight to Bouanga. I mean, that's a dream.
Yeah,
it's a dream. Yeah, if you're Chicho, a GM and a team, that's yeah. A dream to be able to be like, all right, our guy Vela might be retiring, and now we're bringing in a younger guy who can fit. Like, it's crazy to me how they were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Vela and Nico are the same age, and you can see at moments that they still have it, but, you know, I think Vela, it's past him as well.
Yeah.
Which is fair, but, you know, he showed up and gave a good shift on the night. But it's all about Bouanga, and you know, he caught the Sounders, and I want to kind of just walk through that play. And you know, everything happens so fast, but in that situation, and Yamar's been playing with like a little bit of like athletic pubalgia, I think, so you can't really with that. It feels like, and I've had this before in the past, it just feels like at the bottom of your pelvic bone that there's just like this pain and swelling and pressure that just won't go away. And it's not a tear. It's not, you know, a bone that's like popped off, but it's this... like agitation.
Is it just sort of like this like dull pain?
Yeah, just kind it's of like a dull, there? Achy pain that just kind of hangs out, and it's more of a nuisance than anything. It takes a long time to get warm up, and you just can't get to that top gear as much as you would have. Yeah. Christian had it a couple years ago too, and I think he actually had a little bit of surgery on his. And so it is a situation where you just can't get to that top level. But you're playing in the playoffs. I'm sure he took that Toradol pill and tried to play through it, but you could see he just couldn't open up his legs to catch Bouanga, and then there was no catching him. The only thing that could have happened there is Reagan slides across. Once Bouanga gets inside the box, it's last ditch defending at that point. And that's one where when I played center back, I got caught in that position too. Like, do I step? Do I cover the goal? There was a game in Portland where I did cover the goal and I cleared one off the line. And so there's kind of like this balance of I'm trusting Steph. He can make a save. The angle wasn't great, but you're not expecting him to cut in on his right foot and absolutely just lace one at Steph's face and find side netting. So, you know, let's Monday morning quarterback it, because at the end of the day, it's another learning experience for Jackson, but he's got to just slide across and make Bouanga make a play and at least have to think about what he's going to do versus allowing Bouanga to control what he wants to do in the box.
Right, make it as hard as possible rather than
giving him
all the options.
Exactly. Yeah. And so even at that point, Nuhu is actually recovered in time to cover the back post if Bouanga decides to lay that ball off. But, you know, it's a great finish. And then the Sounders keep pressing, get in at halftime. I don't know that there was going to be too much communication in that locker room. There wasn't too. The only disappointment is I can't believe we let one in.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure we're good with the ball. And then it was all Sounders in the second half. But the best chance was probably Yamar's chance. The off the corner kick, the ball gets knocked down, and that one gets cleared off a line by Tillman. And on another day, you know, I think if you ask him, he just couldn't generate enough power. And that was probably the Sounders' best chance. Yeah, we hit the crossbar. We had a couple shots from distance, but those aren't high percentage opportunities. Those are, you know, shots that are available that you take because nothing else is on to make a combination inside the box or really get inside the six. So disappointing for the Sounders, but I will tell you, I mean, they left everything on the field.
100%.
And if you're telling us at the middle of the year that the Sounders team would have made it to where they are now and played as well as they did and not get the result, we would have been disappointed. But I think that they can look back with all the adversity that the team went through throughout the year, you know, asking a lot of this team. You know, Raul only started, I think, 11 games this year. Scored 5 goals. That's coming from your highest paid player. And then you have Nico, you know, who ended up not being a captain and saying his goodbyes. And you could tell after the game that it's probably time up for Nico. Schmetz in his post game conference said, you know, the door is always open there. It's not done until it's done. But I think the writing is on the wall there. And so no player gets to go out on top. And that's a difficult one. Very, very few players get to go out on top. They always think that they have more left in the tank. And, you know, oftentimes they have a little bit more, but not enough. I mean, you look at, you know, Ozzie leaving the team, and he leaves after, you know, a big year. And then you go to a place where I think he's done at Atlanta now. And yep, I don't know if he's going to hang him up, but
I think they announced it on social.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we'll see what happens with Ozzie. But just you know, no player gets to go out on top. That's what I'm saying. And so you see the time come for players, myself with this team. You know, it was time for, you know, Zach Scott to hang him up. And fortunately, we won an MLS Cup that year. And I think that he would have liked to have been more involved and say, yeah, I was a big-time contributor in that game. But, you know, it's really hard to go out on top, and not many players get to, but that's part of the business. Yeah. And I think that the Sounders are going to see some turnover now. And that was a disappointment. You know, I hung out in the locker room afterwards, and it wasn't one where guys were like, I can't believe we played that bad.
No,
I can't believe
that type of game.
Right,
at all.
Exactly.
No.
And so it gives you some solace going into the off season. But still, anytime you go out of the playoffs, it's just a defeating feeling. You know, and then the negativity creeps in, like, all right, who's going where? Am I going to go to a different team? Am I going to, you know, all that talk comes and creeps into your brain, and you kind of settle down. You have your end of the year meetings, and then you kind of take a deep breath and, you know, take a vacation. You know, I mean, I was always one for just going to Hawaii and shutting it down for 4 or 5 days, and that was pretty much it. And then you're kind of back to work.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you're literally right back to work.
Yeah.
You don't get much time off.
No, you don't get hardly any time off. And so it's a good and bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that, you know, you kind of have to get back on it and get back to work. But it's a bad thing because there's still a lot of unknowns out there for this club. And it was just a tough night. Tough night all around. I know the fans were awesome. They were incredible. And, I mean, all throughout the season, it's really hard to be a fan in general. And I would imagine, you know, even watching those Houston games towards the end of the season, they were still not selling out that stadium, which is a surprise for a team that played so good this year. They've won an Open Cup, you know, and that was a big surprise, I think, to see Houston win an Open Cup. And then they've just been on a tear ever since and still not able to fill out that stadium. But our Sounders fans showed up. It was a difficult year, started hot and some lulls in the summertime. And then at the end of the year, the guys turned it on and the fans came out. And it's just a massive shout out to everyone that has watched the games. I know it hasn't been an easy year per se for everyone to kind of swallow the apple pill, the red pill. But we're getting there.
We're getting there.
And I think that things are going to become, you know, even more accessible. But hearing Schmetz just in his press conference afterwards be disappointed, but also know that it should have been the Sounders night at Lumen Field.
It just felt like it. We played well enough to win that game. Like you said, it's all a game of chances and it's all a game of actually completing your chances. And that's what LAFC did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also one of those things where, you know, only one team goes home happy at the end of a season.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not our year this year. It's going to be Columbus or Cincinnati or hopefully not LAFC or Houston.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a difficult one. I wonder if Schmetz, you know, I know he takes time afterwards, but if we asked him 2 or 3 days later, what would have been a change to start the game that you would have made? And I think he would have started Nico. Because in
That's a good shout.
I think that when Nico came in, and I was curious as Schmetz's comments post game, you know, someone had asked about Nico coming in, and they had asked should Raul and Nico should have come in earlier, and he said, well, Nico came into the game, he didn't really make that big of an impact. But to me, I think we knew that LAFC was just going to sit back, and I thought that Nico provided just a different dynamic in a player that popped up in different spaces, because at the past 3 or 4 games, Leo Chu's one-on-one isolation just hasn't come to fruition. We haven't been able to catch him and really playing balls into space where he can get in behind defenders. It's too much facing a defender. And I know that he's fast, but if I'm fast, I want to be in line with the right back, stay wide, and wait for through balls. So I know I'm faster than you. Then you can't catch me. And then I can take my touch on a 45 towards goal and get in behind. And you just didn't see it the past couple games. So if that's not going to be provided, then something has to change, because he's not providing any sort of he did not provide any sort of 1-2s, any sort of real creativity that unlocked the defense. He didn't involve Nuhu telling him, hey, I'll sit here, overlap. I'm gonna face up at my defender. I'm going to isolate him one-on-one. Nuhu, come on, get around me. It just didn't happen. So I think for me, I would have probably started Nico in that game. And then if he gives us, you know, 50, 55 minutes, then bring on Leo Chu to really get after the right back. So, I mean, you could talk about bringing Raul on earlier, but I'm just not sure that there was anything there from Raul.
I mean, he went in the 71st minute. That's plenty of time.
Yeah, it's hard, though, to be a striker and to see that LAFC brings on, you know, well, they brought on Aaron Long pretty late to play 5 in the back, but it's really a 4-3-3, and it's just not a lot of room for Raul to operate. And you saw it late in the game that there were a couple opportunities where I think, you know, either Rusnak or Alex Roldan had the ball on the right-hand side, and Raul's sitting outside the box all the way on the left-hand side. And he's waiting for that ball to pop out, but also I need you in the box to at least provide a body in there, because it's too easy for those center backs to clean up anything that's coming in the air, even though Raul is a little bit smaller. So on the night, I mean, credit to LAFC for having a game plan, sticking to it. I mean, it's a disciplined team. They've got leaders like Chiellini, you know, but I do want to talk about Ted Uncle a little bit.
Yeah, we have to.
And I showed you that someone posted on Reddit that 2019 game where there were a couple red cards and he's cursing at the end of the game. They catch it on camera. And it seemed like it was that night again. It just seems like the occasion is too big for him. And on the radio, I didn't want to blame everything on the refs, because I've been in those games enough to know that it's just not fair. You can complain about it after the game and you know, you can go back and watch it and nitpick. But at the end of the day, the referee's job is to not be seen, not be heard, but to control the tempo of the game. And if I'm a referee, I know I'm walking into a game where most likely the away team is going to sit back and play for fouls, and they're going to slow down the pace of the game. Well, then my job is, when I see that, I give the first warning early. And then if it happens again a second time, I give a yellow card. And I'm going to say, if it happens again, I will give you another yellow card. I have no problem with that. I'm not here for 90 minutes for you to be wasting time and slow down the tempo of this game. I understand there's a time and place for that. Guys get injured. But also, the inconsistency of the fouls committed, it doesn't matter if it's one player committing 2, 3, 4 fouls, then you give them a yellow card. At the end of the day, it's a team tactic to slow down play. And so once you see one foul committed by Kellen Acosta, and then a second foul committed by Chiellini, and then a third foul committed within, you know, a minute, 2, 3 minutes of the game to deliberately slow down any sort of rhythm, then I have to give, even if it's a player's first foul, I have to give a yellow card, because I understand the tactics of the team and what they're trying to do. And my job as a ref is to try and not dictate the play of the game, but also not just call egregious fouls and repeated fouls and then let the next player commit 3 or 4 fouls and then the next one commit 3 or 4 fouls. At some point, I have to show that I have control of the game. And this isn't just, I'm going to foul. And the best way to do that is start handing out yellow cards. And then guys have to think about their next play and if they're going to foul or not. And I was really disappointed in his inability to recognize that on the field. And I know that the Sounders were too. And you know, we have VAR for a reason. It's a clear foul committed on Christian Roldan on the side of the box. Schmetz said in the post-game conference, that's what Christian does so well is turn the corner.
Yep.
And you're telling me...
How many times have you seen him do that?
Yeah, you're telling me as a player, I've drawn out a center back, the left back's out of position, I have a striker in the box, I've just turned the corner, I have all of the 18 to play with and get inside the box, and you think that I'm going to dive and or... It's impossible for Chiellini to take that touch on the ball for where it went. I would rather, as a player, and Christian would too, he's an honest player. He's not a diver. He's going to get inside the box because you want to score a goal. Like, that's the bottom line. And how Ted Uncle doesn't realize that, call the foul. If he deems it on VAR that it's a dive, then give Christian a yellow card for diving. But at least we know that it's a foul. And then if it's not, then it's a yellow card at least for Chiellini committing a foul like that when Christian, I think he was the last man on the play, for getting inside the box on his next touch to go to goal. And so it just really is frustrating, but it doesn't matter because the Sounders didn't create high quality chances in the game. And that is probably the most glaring issue of the game was the Sounders' inability to create, you know, high quality chances. Keeper made saves, yes, but at the end of the day, nothing really. What the Sounders have called in the past is getting to those zones at the end of the at the end of the end line and looking for those balls slip back that the Sounders have done a pretty good job of in years past. So, Ted Uncle, I mean, we've seen it before. We'll probably have to see it again, I would imagine. But Sounders.
What is it that Danny said on the broadcast that it's better to be consistent either way? If you're consistently bad, at least the players know that you're being consistent and they know how to then play. Like, I think of the 2019 game where we beat LAFC and Javi Arriaga was basically able to do whatever he wanted.
Right.
But the referee set that as a precedent and Javi did exactly the right thing and being like, all right, it's not going to get called this way. So I'm going to be able to be more aggressive on Carlos Vela. It's consistency.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be consistently good, but of course, consistency.
It is consistency at the end of the day. So we leave it here with the Sounders exiting in a game that felt like the guys should have come out victorious.
Yeah.
In a game of what ifs. So we'll see a big change in the Sounders squad next year. I think with, you know, hopefully at least two or three players.
Yeah, that's another thing, taking a step back. This was kind of like a transition year for the Sounders in certain ways. And normally in professional sports, when a team is going through a transition year, it's a disaster.
Right.
And we were favorites in a Western Conference semifinal in a transition year. I mean, that's
you have 70% possession.
Getting some perspective, I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about Nico's stats still with 11 assists on the year.
Yeah.
For a player who the club felt like they weren't getting enough out of him. There weren't too many players in the league, but I think that there's just now a higher standard for what it takes to be a DP in this league and to produce. If you look around the league, the best 11 selections as well. So a new era for the Sounders. They asked Schmetz that and he said, no, it's not really a new era for the Sounders, I don't think. Yeah, we're entering a 50th year anniversary. We have high expectations for next year. We have a new facility that could attract, you know, some bigger players as well. And so I don't think it's a new era.
No,
I just think there's going to be kind of a plug and play situation. And I just hope that, you know, we don't go in halfway through the year and make a signing or two, because I think that just disrupts. But you can look at it both ways. If the Sounders do stick with this same lineup, they can get the job done for, you know, an early part of the year and then make a couple key signings to plug in and hopefully make another run at this thing.
Yeah, I think we can feel optimistic about next season for
sure.
100%. Yeah. Before we go, I want your take, LAFC versus Houston. Who's going to take that one?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of storylines here. I think Columbus, obviously on the East, I think Columbus would be in their second MLS Cup in the last couple years.
They're so under the radar successful sometimes, that team.
Yeah, and then you play FC Cincinnati, which was, what, a three-time wooden spoon winner, bottom of the league.
But without their defender of the year, Matt Miazga.
Right. And now we'll be a Supporters Shield winning team going up to hopefully play in an MLS Cup and win for Pat Noonan. And then you look at Houston, who's won an Open Cup, could possibly win the double. Ben Olsen took over last November and completely flipped that team around. They made the playoffs a couple times, but really has shown that they're probably the most dynamic and most creative team out of the final four remaining. And then LAFC has a chance to repeat as champions. And so there's a lot of interesting storylines that kind of play into all being pretty consistent and having championships, save for Cincinnati. So Coach of the Year, and what a turnaround for FC Cincinnati. But I think for this LAFC team, I think being at home is going to – it'll give them all the boost in the world. That place is going to be rocking. I don't think Houston has a real chance here. They'll have to sit back, but they're not a team that sits back. They go also, and that's going to open the floodgates for LAFC to go. Yeah. And I just don't see anything but an LAFC team reaching the final. On the other side, I think it's a bit of a toss-up. I mean, I think Columbus might pull this out. I think Herc early on, Gomez said it would be a Columbus Sounders rematch, and I was actually, I was
so
all
close
for that. Yeah, so close. But I think you'll see LAFC and Columbus in this one, because I think Columbus plays. They got a couple champions on their team. And I think they'll go into Cincinnati and cause some disruption, especially without Matt Miazga in the back.
Yeah, it's too bad that Houston's not selling out, because they might be the most entertaining team to watch this year.
Yeah, I think so too. I said it weeks and weeks ago, was Houston probably has the most dynamic front five or six. And I think Hector Herrera has been unreal for them. He's been so good. And I love the way he plays. I really love the way he plays.
It's just entertaining. Like, yeah, you watch them and you're just like thoroughly entertained the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the team that plays most like a Liga MX team. And I enjoy it. I like watching it. I think their tempo, the way that they're creative, the way that they move is most like a Liga MX team. And I think that they're a good squad. So we'll look forward to watching. We don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care who wins in this
just
one
beat
at all.
LA,
yeah,
I guess
beat
at
LA.
This point.
Yeah, beat LA. That'll always be a hashtag.
Always
highlight. So, but we'll be back next week.
Yes,
and we'll keep.
Steve will be back. We'll recap the whole season.
Yeah, recap the whole season, and then we'll get into the results of the Eastern and Western Conference championships. So, until then, we'll talk to you later.